Margaret. And we're going to move on
Thank
right
you.
now. Thanks. We're going to talk with Susan Kirsch. She is founder and president of Community Catalyst for Local Control. And her passion is these controls need to be handled locally, 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 locally. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Good morning, Marcia. I'm doing great. Thank
Great.
you.
It's
Good
great.
show. Thank you
Thank
for setting this all up.
Thank you. I'm glad you could be with us this morning and talk about this important subject because a lot of people do search and search and can't find homes that are within their budgets. And so, hitting this over and over again is one way we hope to provide people with more resources so they can find what they need. So tell us a little bit about housing policy from a statewide perspective, because I know you keep your thumb on what's happening in Sacramento.
Thank you. Well, I do try to keep my thumb on some of what's happening in Sacramento, and I really appreciated Margaret's giving a framework for how it's playing out right in Sonoma. And I want to say I think we have a world of problems that we're trying to deal with all of the need for compassion and understanding and dealing with the complexities of what someone being evicted is dealing with legal aid groups trying to help them through city councils and to the State Department. And I guess for me, the perspective these days is just recognizing what a tough position city councils especially are in, because they are being given demands from the regional agencies, the Council of Governments. So here in the Bay Area, it's the Association of Bay Area Governments or ABAG. They're being given numbers that are double the number of housing units that they've ever been asked to meet before in the next 8-year cycle. And as Margaret was pointing out, the city councils are being told that if they don't meet these numbers, even though they don't build housing, that they can be punished with the state either imposing outrageous fines or the state saying they can come in and take over running the city. And a part of why this is so troublesome to me goes back to like a couple of years ago when I was looking at what happened in 2008 with what's referred to as the housing meltdown of 2008. And there's a great book that I've got here. A man named Aaron Glantz wrote it. And just for the title of it, it's so informative, I think, about what we are dealing with today, moving forward from 2008, but with a greater vengeance. For those people who see our homes and our land and our communities as a commodity that they can buy. So, the title of this book is called Home Wreckers. The subtitle is How a Gang of Wall Street Kingpins, Hedge Fund Magnates, Crooked Banks, and Vulture Capitalists Suckered Millions Out of Their Homes and Demolished the American Dream. So, when I look at what the state is saying compared to what they're doing, they're putting the American dream and a middle class at great risk and increasing the level of suffering and danger that our neighbors are all living with. So, for example, there's a couple other ways the state is doing that. It started out with years ago when they were raising the flag saying we have a 3.5 million unit housing shortage. But it turns out that was wrong. That was an inflated number that was wrong. Now, more recently, they came out with the RHNA numbers that Margaret was referring to, the regional housing need allocation numbers. These numbers being twice as high as they ever were before. In Sonoma, you guys are expected to build 14,000 new units in the next 8 years.
That's
In
a lot.
Marin County, where I am, our number went up by a 1,900% increase. And as much as the language coming out of Sacramento is that we have to do this because we need affordable housing, their own methodology like often shows how this is also as untrue as the 3.5 million number was. For example, it's divided up to say there have to be a certain percentage of units that are very low income, moderate, and high income. But if you look at their no total numbers in Sonoma, you are still only required to build low and very low at 44% of this total 14,000 number. So most of the housing is still expected to be built in the moderate or but of moderate rate. So now, add to that, making this really difficult for local city councils and planning agencies, that I think it's in your own Sonoma Press Democrat, the editorial that was sent out, where they talk about how it they found it costs about $700,000 to produce a single unit of housing. And right. those numbers we know are going up because of inflation and land costs and labor costs. But if you look at a unit of affordable, this is the low income affordable housing at 700,000. And even if we were still using a system where someone could come in and pay 20% down and get a 30-year fixed mortgage, that would be someone having to have a down payment, low income unit of $140,000.
That's a lot of money.
So most people have a savings account of 5,000 or something. We're really at low, low levels of how people are saving. So we're living in the middle of some kind of, let's pretend this makes sense. And let's pretend the state has some kind of elevated wisdom of what we really need in our communities. So again, for Sonoma, you met your goals in each of the past housing cycles. You met the RENA numbers. Mm-hmm. So you could be really proud of that. In Marin County, we did the same thing. So that the state would suddenly come in with these inflated numbers and blame the cities for past failures. I mean, there aren't even past failures, other than we know we still have issues around how is it that we make housing available, safe, secure housing for anybody who a city council member or the planning commission or we as neighbors are responsible to care for.
Whew. Susan, can you can you hang with us a little bit longer? We need to take a quick station break.
Absolutely.
All right. Listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Susan Kirsch right after this break.
You've been listening to The Morning Show, sponsored by The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Aquarium of the Bay and its Eco Expeditions, aquariumofthebay.org. The Santa Rosa Spine Institute, located at 76 Brookwood Avenue, Santa Rosa, California. Vicki Rogers with Planet Home Lending, 707-324-9117.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. SchoenGroup.com. This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
Scientific research has shown that forgiveness is good for our health. It can help us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. People who hold on to grudges and grievances and who tend to blame others for their problems have more physical illnesses than those who don't. You can bring greater peace and harmony into your life by choosing to forgive. Remember that forgiveness always starts with ourselves. This means taking responsibility for your hurt and then releasing it.
And now back to The Morning Show.
And we're back. Gonged back in. It is The Morning Show, Monday morning, July the 18th. I'm Marcia Maycumber, your host until 10 o'clock this morning. And we've been talking with Susan Kirsch. She is the founder and president of Community Catalysts for Local Control, talking about housing and most recently about the RENA numbers. Now, conveniently, just as Margaret was talking about the state reviewing the county and city's plans for how they're going to achieve their allocated numbers, the state does get its own audit where independent people audit what they have proposed and how well they're following it and does it make sense. So with the RENA numbers, talk a little bit about what the audit findings were, Susan.
Start by just saying that when cities were getting these numbers that they were understanding, they could not possibly make these doubled numbers over the last cycle. And when they considered what would have to happen if they were to even try to reach these numbers in a realistic way, that they were going to be putting people there was pressure to zone in high fire zone areas, mm-hmm. or to put more housing where there's already difficult narrow evacuation or emergency right. routes. There was a total disregard for across the whole state of where's the water going to come from for building all of these additional homes for this many more people.
Right.
So a lot of people were concerned about that. And Senator Steve Glaser from the East Bay took note of what his constituents were saying about how much this RENA process was undermining trust in the whole process of HCD, the Housing and Community Development Department. And there had been a study that came out of the Embarcadero Institute, which had findings that showed that these numbers were double counted. So they were double because they didn't use an accurate methodology. So Senator Glaser with some colleagues submitted a request for an emergency audit to the State Joint Audit Legislative Committee. And so they jumped on it. This was back in, last September or so. And so the audit committee, whereas Steve Glaser had asked for 7 items to be investigated, they only investigated 3 or 4 of them, but they did come back with a report in March. And the conclusion of their report was they've issued a fact sheet that you can find on their website, but it was that the Department of Housing and Community Development must improve its processes to ensure that communities can adequately plan for housing. And the report has a lot in it about how trust has been undermined because their key findings were about the errors that were coming through HCD staff when they were registering things, the lack of supervision that was going on, that there were inconsistencies in how they measured vacancy rates. I mean, just to explain that, mm-hmm. They were using the same number in terms of a point of concern for rental vacancies and homeowner vacancies. And those two numbers vary at a pretty significant level of how frequently an apartment is vacated versus a home. So this HCD and the Department of Finance are both under orders to do some fixing up of the things that were in error. There is still some considerable concern about those items of the audit request that were never addressed. For example, the jobs housing balance being another big issue that a lot of people talk about, of housing should be near jobs. But for many people, COVID has shown that that's no longer important. So the audit is a really, it's available on the state audit's website. It's also posted on the Catalyst website. And I just want to jump ahead. We're going to have limited time here. So I just want to make sure I'm mentioning one other thing for listeners. And that is, because we recognize city councils are in such a, they're between the rock and a hard place for wanting to protect the health and safety and life and well-being of their constituents. And they've got the state breathing down their throat and the regional agencies are kind of caught in the middle.
Yeah.
So Catalyst in August is going to start a 4-part series that we're calling, It's called Demand Housing Solutions, Not Rigged Housing Policy. Numbers that have been used have been rigged numbers, maybe kind of like Aaron Glantz found when he wrote the book Home Wreckers, and that they're not paying attention to the fact that big industry is being allowed to come in to purchase single family homes that already exist or building huge amounts of single family homes, putting them into big corporate ownership where you probably will not have a number you can call to reach or even know who your landlord is. It'll all be property managers.
Goodness so gracious.
We're going to make a town hall series. We are going to have the attorney who is filing lawsuits for cities that are feeling like they are not being well represented by the state. So these will be lawsuits already filed, but an invitation for other cities to join the lawsuits.
Okay.
And to inform our listeners, our neighborhood association and homeowner groups about how they can help work with the cities to join the lawsuit. So that'll be going on. The attorney who's representing them will be there, a former city attorney from Albany, Michael Barnes, who's written the article about how the sixth cycle was rigged. We'll have representatives from cities who are on the lawsuits who have gone through the deliberative process of looking at what are the risks and what are the possible benefits for joining the lawsuit. So all of that information will be posted on the catalystsca.org website. We're also looking for people who want to endorse this town hall series and help promote it out through the rest of the state so that we can be working together through a system that is honoring truth and transparency, which we could use a whole lot more of, and that honors systematic problem solving, not just throwing things at the wall to see what sticks, and also honor moving towards a climate of collaboration and working together, not the arrogance of the state acting as if they have the answers based on faulty numbers.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you running Community Catalysts are on the right track because you're providing forums for a lot of people to participate and have their voices heard about what is and isn't working at the state level or isn't working at their local level that they would like the state to back up on. So that would be good. We've been talking with Susan Kirsch, founder and president of Community Catalysts for Local Control. And again, if you are interested in some of her upcoming programs, visit catalystsca.org. Really easy to find. Susan, thank you for your time this morning. Really appreciate
it. Great to be here. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we